The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in this world, and he loved them till the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew he would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we begin these three holy days, the church looks different. There's some things missing. The most obvious is the tabernacle doors are open and it is empty. Our font, baptismal font, is dry. All the holy water receptacles at the doors of the church are missing. And our ambry is currently empty as well. The church wants us to reflect upon this great act of salvation that Jesus accomplishes, but also reminding us that from that act, all of the sacraments flow. And so for a few days, we remove those reminders that are always here among us from our church. And so we begin today with Holy Thursday of the Lord's Supper. Jesus, at that Last Supper with his disciples, gave us the Eucharist. And so tonight we heard three scripture readings, and each one of them kind of unpacks a little bit about what happened that fateful night and what it means for us today. The first reading accounted God giving Moses the regulations for the people to prepare the Passover meal, to commemorate that night when the avenging angel passed over God's chosen people and struck down the firstborn throughout Egypt, but sparing the God's chosen people who had taken the blood of the sacrificed lamb and painted their doorposts with it so that the angel would know to pass over them. It is an act of redemption. That is the theme from our first reading. What does that word to redeem mean? Well, it basically means to return someone to a previous state. God's chosen people, when he promised Abraham they would be numerous as the sands of the sea or the stars of the heavens, they were free. They were free for many generations until they ended up in Egypt. And then, after several generations, they became slaves. They became slaves working at the whim of the Pharaoh. Unable to worship their God. And so that night of Passover is what led to Pharaoh telling them, get out of here. We don't want to endure any more of this. Leave our presence. And because of that, the people then were redeemed, were then returned to free people once again, free to worship their God, free to follow God's guidance into a new destiny and eventually into the promised land. We as a human family needed to be redeemed because we were slaves, just as his chosen people were. From the very moment that our parents turned their back on their creator, the gates of heaven were slammed shut. Another angel, as described in the book of Genesis with the flaming sword, stood guard so that no human being would be able to enter into eternal life in heaven. And for many, 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 many generations, the human race was barred from that relationship with our Father in heaven. And so we needed to be redeemed. We needed to be returned to being free, free to love and free to worship God and free to be chosen as God's adopted children. And so that idea of redemption was needed for us. And from the moment of Christ's resurrection, those gates of heaven were now flung open. And we now have been given the promise of eternal life at our baptism. The second reading comes from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, when you study the New Testament, Paul's writings tend to be the oldest. And when I say oldest, I mean from our perspective. What I mean is they are the writings closest to when Jesus walked on this earth. The Gospels were done a generation, two, even three generations after St. Paul's writings. So we kind of believe these are accurate in terms of what Jesus said at the Last Supper. And we hear in those words that we heard in today's readings, the words that are familiar to us, take, this is my body, this is my blood. Jesus at that Last Supper knew that he needed to be present to the following generations of his disciples. He needed for them to experience his real presence. He needed for them to know that he will never abandon them, will always be with them. And that is the promise he made at that Last Supper, as he gave them the gift of his very self to not only those 12, but continues to give it to us today, his modern-day disciples. Jesus promised at the end of Matthew's gospel, I am with you always until the end of the ages. And the Eucharist is the primary way that he fulfills that promise. we continue to enjoy Christ's presence in our life, but most especially when we gather together as members of his body, the church, celebrating this sacrament. I mentioned at the beginning how the other sacraments have kind of been shut down. But tonight, we celebrate the first sacrament because from the Eucharist, all the other sacraments flow. Because the Eucharist, we are in Christ's presence. And now, because of his presence, we get to enjoy being cleansed of original sin in the waters of baptism, having our sins forgiven again in the sacrament of reconciliation, having healing, true healing, take place in the anointing of the sick. Jesus promising to be with a couple as they exchange, make a commitment for the rest of their lives in holy matrimony. Jesus' presence setting aside those who are ordained to the diaconate, the priesthood, and the episcopate. And of course, confirming what they have already received in baptism and in the Eucharist through the sacrament of confirmation. In all of these sacraments, Jesus is the one who gives it to us. But in this sacrament, he is what is given to us. And thus, we celebrate his real presence in our life each and every time we celebrate this sacrament. Then finally, we reach the gospel. I remember when I was growing up, coming to Holy Thursday after Holy Thursday, and I thought, why don't we hear Jesus say those words? This is my body, this is my blood. And if you open up John's gospel, you will see a very long and beautiful prayer Jesus prays on behalf of his disciples. But you will not hear the words of institution. It's the only gospel that it does not occur. Well, remember how I said that the gospels were finally put down into writing many years, even after St. Paul's? Well, John's gospel was the last, written around the year 100. So we're talking about 70 years or so after Jesus walked and returned to the Father. By that time, the church already figured out how to do the Eucharist. The church already knew what had to happen during the celebration of every Mass. It was continuing. But in John's Gospel, the writer decided to include this story because he felt the church needed to be reminded about what this was all about. And so he included a story that is only found in his gospel, what we heard tonight, Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Jesus talked about, and of course they referred to him as master and teacher, but he did something that only the servants of the household would do, and that is wash the feet of a guest. Never a master would consider kneeling at the feet of their pupils and wash their feet. That was totally and completely taboo in their society. But Jesus did it as a way of demonstrating one of the effects that is supposed to occur in this sacrament of the Eucharist. We are supposed to be united together. We are supposed to be a family. We are supposed to be looking out for one another. We are supposed to put the other person's needs ahead of our own. That is one of the effects of the celebration of the Eucharist. It's supposed to be. It doesn't always happen, of course. Too many times we decide my needs are more important than someone else's. Or we, instead of reaching out to our neighbor, maybe judge their actions. What put them in this state that they need such help? There are many ways that the unity that Jesus desires in the body of Christ is broken apart. Jesus gives us an example. He knelt at the feet of his disciples. He washed their feet. He wasn't just the master. He wasn't just the teacher. He was the Messiah, the Son of God, through whom all things were created, and he knelt at the feet of his creatures and washed their feet. And he said, "Now you do the same. If I can do it, you can do it. And if you need help remembering how to be humble, if you need help remembering how to serve, not to be served, look at me, look at my example, and most especially look at what I did on the cross." My dear friends, the people of St. John's time needed to hear that message, but we need to hear it just as much today. We need to be reminded that our Lord and Savior gave up everything, including his life, for our salvation, to redeem us. But then we also need to remember, he asks us to do the same. If we want to be redeemed, if we want to be considered sons and daughters of the living God, we must live our lives in the example of the Son of God. We must be humble as he was humble. We must be willing to serve one another as he did. The days that follow tonight's celebration is a very real reminder of that, most especially tomorrow, as we adore the cross, an instrument of execution that now has become a sign of victory because of what Jesus did on it. And so, as we continue tonight's celebration, it is an opportunity to thank God for the gift of his Son. A Son who was willing to give his very life for us and continue to give of himself each and every time we celebrate this sacrament, so that we can enjoy the other sacraments of the church and thus be redeemed into sons and daughters of the living God. We have been given an example of great love and great humility, and it is an example as disciples we are called to follow.